Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan here. Andy Hart over there. And we are live at Fenway in the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. Brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Get going during SUV season by joining the Bronco family or get a great offer on America's best-selling truck, F-Series, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. So I guess they can talk about the Patriots on the Pat McAfee show. I'm surprised to hear that. I didn't think it was. They had Bill Belichick on for however long and ignored the topic of the New England Patriots completely. Even Mullet over there, who's a New England fan, wouldn't even bring it up to the coach. But they did talk about the game for a minute. And the reason why I wanted to play that clip, Andy, is because that's basically it in terms of the national conversation. There's been very, very little said in the last 48 hours about your New England Patriots. It's been a lot. Big talker here locally, obviously. Everyone in Boston's talking about it. Everyone in New England's talking about it. You may even go tri-state area. There's some people going on about it there. But in general, I'd say that the real conversation around that game and the other 3+ minutes of that segment on the McAfee show was about the Bengals and the trouble that they're in and how, man, what a bad look for the Bengals losing to the Patriots. What did they do wrong? How did they let this happen? Blah, 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 blah. There was about 40 seconds there of Patriots analysis. It wasn't super accurate either. I mean, Brissett did make one bad play. It's not like he made no mistakes
right.
The whole game. Hunter Henry had to rip that ball back on what should have been an interception, but in general, I agree with what they were saying. I don't think that that was too far out of bounds to say that Brissett took care of the ball and didn't make a bunch of bad decisions. He made one, really, but that's it. And for the most part, I thought that's pretty accurate. But in general, nationally, here we are. It's Tuesday. Like, the week's over. We just saw the last game. We saw Monday Night Football. The Jets didn't look great. We'll get to them. But the Patriots, I think, still have just as much bulletin board material now as they did before because no one's really talking about them. They're talking about how the Bengals blew it and how they sort of let themselves down. Patriots aren't getting a ton of credit nationally.
That's reality when you're a bad football team with low expectations, no star player. You're not even playing your rookie quarterback that people might talk about if he had played. If they had won this game the exact same way with Drake May, you'd get a little more buzz.
Yep.
You'd get a little more talk. Drake May won his NFL debut, but the reality of the situation is you're a bottom. Well, I did look at the ESPN power rankings, and the Patriots are 24.
Woo!
That's pretty damn high.
That's pretty good.
They haven't been that high in a while.
Yeah.
Been a while.
Don't know the last time they were up there.
You're not 24th. In the bottom 25th percentile, right? That would be 25th, right? So you're in the top third of the league.
Yes.
Three quarters.
No, you're not in the top third.
You're in the top three quarters. Sorry.
Yeah. Top 75.
That's a big jump for a team that most people coming into the season expected to have the number one overall pick as the worst team in football.
Or at the very least in the bottom 10%.
Right. And it was a massive, It was a much bigger loss for the Bengals than win for the Patriots in some sense because it was the biggest spread of the week. And that's a team with Joe Burrow. I watched some show earlier this preseason where they were debating MVP, and I think they had four panelists. Two took Joe Burrow and two took Patrick Mahomes. That's what you're talking about, a truly elite quarterback on a team that, if healthy, I think some people expect to do the worst to first turnaround, contend for a Super Bowl, and they went out and laid an egg. And it's really no different than this week's opponent. Is anybody, anybody nationally talking about the Seattle Seahawks? Mike McDonald got a win in his first NFL game. No. Why would you talk about him? Is anybody excited? No disrespect, so earmuffs, Jacoby, if you're listening. But is anybody excited about a Geno Smith, Jacoby Brissett matchup? Sort of journeyman guys.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no star power.
Geno was a Pro Bowler recently, though, wasn't he?
I mean, everybody. Like, screw the Pro Bowl. Put it up your bum bum.
Okay, fine, but that's better. The journeymen don't generally make the Pro Bowl.
Meh.
Generally.
There was a guy for Baltimore a couple years ago. I don't even remember his name.
Oh, Snoop.
Yes.
Snoop Dogg, yeah.
So I think that just proved your point. Inaccurate.
Okay, I
make
said
the Pro Bowl.
Generally, they don't. All right? That's
I think now they
I'd
do.
Say not.
I think,
and eventually, if you get like six or seven guys down the line, fine. But I think Geno had a good enough year to be a Pro Bowler on his own, is the point that I'm making.
But no one cares.
Fine.
Because what is he? Whether you think he's a journeyman, Pro Bowler, journeyman, not Pro
he's
Bowler.
He's an inspirational story about how a guy can bounce back when it looks like his career's
right, and no one cares. He's
completely
not a star. It's about stars and young, either old stars.
He's not a star. That's
like Aaron Rodgers, or young stars like Caleb Williams, till you prove you're not a star. Maybe you become a journeyman. Who knows how that plays out? But the quarterback position, the buzz, and these two franchises moved on from what they were known for.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll and Bill Belichick.
You know what Geno Smith is? He's best case scenario for Mac Jones. That's the best case scenario for Mac Jones' career right now. First round pick in the middle of the round, I think, right? That's where Geno got picked. Flames out on his first team, bounces around as a backup, gets an opportunity as a starter, and is back in the conversation and winning 9, 10 game, making a Pro Bowl, that type of thing.
I bet
that's
you Mac
the best
thinks,
case scenario. For
I bet you Mac is shooting higher. I bet you
I'm
Mac
sure he is. I'm just saying that's his best case scenario.
That probably is his best case scenario. And talent-wise, he's probably similar to a Geno Smith. Not a truly elite talent in any area of his game, but probably good enough to be one of those middling starters in the NFL with the right team, the right system, the right opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But from a Patriots perspective, if you want buzz, if you want people talking about you, A, keep winning. But more importantly, develop your stars. And you have opportunities. I recorded a Six Rings with Fitzy this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, one of the real nice takeaways that you can go from this game is a guy like Keon White and Christian Gonzalez. Are you excited to see them play next week?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And if those guys trend, not even in an unrealistic direction, they'll probably have some lumps or some lower points coming, but those are guys that you will be excited to watch week in and week out. At the end of the year, they might be on lists of top players below the age of this kind of thing, young gun type players. And if you add those to some of the guys you already like, Kyle Duggar, Jabril Peppers, right? The veteran guys on both. Stevenson. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you consider Stevenson. Is he a veteran or is he still a young guy?
I consider it's his third year.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say he's still a young guy.
Okay, so I would put him with White. Then White, Gonzalez, and Stevenson are a big reason you won that football game.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's an exciting young kind of buzz for this team. But those guys right there, they're not going to resonate on, like, Get Up or, you know, Good Morning Football or any of the – maybe Good Morning Football.
It takes a while for a defense to be considered a great defense.
Right.
It's not a week one, week two thing.
That might need a name.
Like, yeah, right, exactly.
Want to name it?
What
do you got?
How about the Boogeymen?
No, that is not good.
No,
we're
no,
not
no
doing
good.
That.
Legion of – I can't think. Something like that. Something in the – maybe like a wrestler name. We'll come back to it. We'll circle back.
Legion of Boom. Nope.
Been no, taken. I think that's been done. Purple People Eaters doesn't even apply because they don't wear purple.
Can we use something with mayo?
The Steel Curtain?
Hell Men's defense or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough,
tough
to make mayo sound intimidating. But
you know what's also a problem for Hellman's Mayo?
What's that?
So they got Gerard Mayo. I believe they have a deal with him.
Yep.
They also have Will Levis. Did you see the Will Levis Mayo commercials that were making the rounds during the games?
I saw a Will Levis video. It wasn't a Mayo commercial, though.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a Will Levis commercial where he's, like, doing a split on top of stacked-up mayonnaise containers or something. And
is that, like, a fetish video?
I don't know. But after the way he played, he should say, like, can you guys take those down?
Probably.
I mean, that pitch pass he threw for an interception was the...
That was awful.
Probably the dumbest play of the weekend.
He sucks.
He might.
This is Stevenson's fourth year, by the way. I'd still call him a young player. Not that that means anything, but in like running back years, he's kind of old, you know, like for the team and for the earth, he's young, but
especially at 25 carries a game.
Yes, that too. So there you go. All right. Well, the national conversation about this Patriots team is still one that I think they can work with. I think that's something that Gerard Mayo can certainly work with. We see that that's kind of his thing motivationally. He likes to make sure that guys hear the noise. He pretends like he doesn't hear it, but he says, you know, all my guys do, and he uses it as a motivational tactic. I was clicking around. The only other Patriots analysis I really saw was like the Dan Patrick show on YouTube. There was a conversation about, oh, the Patriots might be better than we think. But that's really it. You know, the credit that they're getting is mostly going into negative connotations about the Cincinnati Bengals, which, by the way, they deserve. They played a bad game. I don't think that you look at what they were doing and think that's a very well-coached, well-oiled machine over there in Cincinnati. As good as the Patriots' defense was, they made a lot of mistakes, and I think that was pretty clear to anybody watching that game. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll open the phone lines here early and often. As you may or may not have heard during our crossover with Jones and Keefe, we are going to be joined today for the first time all season by Ross Tucker. He's going to be calling in at 5:30. That is something we're both looking forward to. He's on his way to, where's the game on Thursday? Miami or Buffalo? They're playing each other, but I don't know where the game is.
Not sure where.
He's traveling to wherever it is, and is going to be talking to us at 5:30 today. Also, Rob Bradford is going to be joining us here live in studio. We are completely unsupervised, by the way. Ken's not here. We have no one in here making sure that we don't burn this place down, which is a bold, I'm obviously not burn the place down.
Well, it is Fenway Park. We would be destroying, what is it? It's on the National.
Oh, this is a historic building for sure.
If you burn this place down, we're in trouble.
Right, and I didn't mean on purpose, like it would be, you know, some sort of mistake that may happen. But either way, this is a new sensation for me down here. Usually we have like two or three babysitters. Today we have zero.
So are you uncomfortable with that?
A little bit, yeah.
You should feel like responsible. It's like your parents left you home alone.
Oh, no, I never feel that way. I never feel responsible. I never feel like I should be in charge of a situation like that, because I can't be looking around. I don't know what's going on over there. I got to talk. You know,
this is
my job. We got to talk.
You certainly don't want to look to me to be the responsible one.
That's definitely true.
Okay, so.
So here we are. This is what it's like.
We'll be fine.
Today, the coordinators are talking. Defensive and offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington are going to be speaking today, which made me wonder.
I believe it's Springer and Covington. I believe Van Pelt is tomorrow morning with the offensive assistants.
Great. All right. So we'll have Springer then going today, and Covington will let you know if they say anything interesting. But it did get me wondering, which coordinator had a better day yesterday? Was it Covington or was it Van Pelt?
Van Pelt.
You think?
Easily. Covington has a lot of talent. He had a great day.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he deserved a game ball. I liked the pressure. The challenge was there in terms of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and that offense. But you have Alex Van Pelt, who he and his offense were a total unknown.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the journeyman quarterback that didn't look, honestly, all that good in preseason action, limited preseason action. He had to shift on the fly at left tackle, the position we've pinpointed and torn apart all offseason. You know, there was a lot of questions there against a pretty good defense. And I'm not saying it was perfect. I think the offensive performance is getting a little overblown.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday. I think the offensive line performance in particular has been overblown because Gerard Mayo says he thinks it's been overblown how bad it's been. I think it's been overblown how good it is. 31 pass drops, dropbacks, 14 of them were under pressure, and your running back had to get 118 of his 120 yards after contact. I'm not sure that's the most dominant offensive line performance I've seen, but it was good enough to win, and Alex Van Pelt, I thought, did things to help his offensive line. Certainly didn't have anybody other than Stevenson who had a great day. There wasn't a lot of playmaking in the passing game, if anything.
Wasn't super creative.
No.
You know, it was just sort of run the ball and go.
Let's win on our terms, and it helps when, boom, three and out. Boom, three and out. So you're not in a shootout with Joe Burrow. They didn't put points on the board where you suddenly start to, is it hot here? Or do we need to score points at a faster rate?
Nope,
that never happened. But I just think with all the unknown, all the questions, all the, quite honestly, lower level of talent that he coordinates on the offensive side of the ball, Alex Van Pelt, for his first time doing it since, 2009, I believe is the year? So 15 years later, goes out and beats the Bengals in Cincinnati, a touchdown plus favorite. AVP, I'm down with he.
Now, I think Van Pelt should be proud of a lot of that game, but the only reason, if they score 16 points a game this year, they're going to be one of the worst offenses in the league. The only reason why that was enough to win that game is because of Covington and the defense.
You only have to win the game that's in front of you that day.
Right, but I'm saying the only reason 16 points was enough is because they held a very good offense to 10 points. I mean, that's the headline here, I think.
Sure. Well, I think the offense held the offense to 10 points in part. If we're going to really pull things apart and parse things, I mean, Joe Burrow threw two touchdown passes, yet the stat sheet says zero.
It's true.
He's got a jackal in the middle of the field, like throwing the ball up in the air, like Deion Sanders, who's on the TV screen behind you right now. They were willing. I keep calling them willing victims. Mm-hmm. The Bengals were very much willing victims. They played a massive part in their own defeat. And that's part of why that story, I'm sure, in Cincinnati and nationally is about the Bengals and their failures. It also falls in line with the narrative of recent years. And it falls in line with questions about what kind of culture they have there. If you're always going to be worried about contracts and this and that, and nobody's practicing, are you ever actually building a team? Are you ever actually getting ready for the regular season? Now, all that being said, they could be 2-2 in a month and then roll off eight straight. Joe Burrow is a special quarterback.
Yep.
They have some special talent.
And they're slow starters, and they usually get hot in the middle of the year. That's usually how it goes. Yeah.
Now, that's not a great resume or reputation to have.
No.
In fact, I think it says,
unless you're winning championships every year,
and you're not.
It doesn't matter, but they're not. Yeah.
So I think it actually says, Zach Taylor, watch out. Bill Belichick's coming. He's taking your job.
You're hot on the trail.
Yep, that's my new thing. That's my new thing.
By the way, did you hear the latest about Sanders?
Oh, the music thing?
The touchdown thing?
Doesn't let the band play because they want his son's song to play?
Yeah. So now instead of fight, see you fight down the field, the see you fight song, when they score a touchdown, Deion says, no, the band can't play. I want him to play instead my son's terrible rap song. And I heard it. It's terrible. It's really, really bad. And I don't know. I mean, I love CU. I was excited about Coach Prime.
He sucks.
This is starting to...
Is it ridiculous to say he might be the worst coach in America?
In America? Yeah, I don't think he's the worst coach in America.
Because I think he has two of the top five players potentially in next year's draft. And if you have two of the top five players,
I think he thinks he has that. He has one of them. Travis Hunter
absolutely is. And Shadur's pretty good.
I'm not sure about
Shadur. I don't know what he would be if his name wasn't Sanders and he wasn't tied at the hip to Deion and the buzz and everything that goes in that.
I think he's more buzz than substance. He's tougher than people think.
He's pretty good.
He was good against South Dakota State. I mean, like,
he puts up big numbers. Mm. In that, putting up consistently good numbers in college football, the quarterback position, there aren't a ton of guys that do that. Drake May battled that.
That's right? True.
He faded. So he coaches three people, essentially.
His
two kids and Travis Hunter. It's like he doesn't give a rat's ass about the other 103, 102 kids on the roster. And that's why I wonder, is he done at the end of this year? Does he just leave when Sanders, and Hunter leave?
Stephen A. was saying that he would thrive at a big SEC program. I don't think he has any more kids, but, you know.
He can't thrive at that program. He almost lost to North Dakota State.
I know. They lost to Stanford last year.
He stinks. He's not a good coach.
It's pretty bad.
He's P.T. Barnum, right? He's Dana White.
I really thought that Warren Sapp, adding him to the coaching staff, was going to put them over the top, but not quite.
No, and not having the Rock at halftime or T.O. on the sideline or all these other little things. How about be a good football coach? Here's an idea. When there's like 30 seconds left, don't wait till 20 seconds to call timeout. If you're going to call timeout, call it 30 seconds because you actually save time, Deion. That's how timeouts work.
They were down 28-3, so. Oh.
But if you're going to do it, why do it 11 seconds later or whatever it was?
Yes, absolutely.
He seems like a terrible football coach to me.
He's having a rough year so far. 617-779-7937. Any leftover thoughts from the game? Any unsung heroes? People we should be talking about more than we have been so far that played well in that game or didn't play well in that game? Is there anybody that you think is being overlooked here?
Well, I'll say it again. I think we have overlooked Juwan Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to be getting...
Good call.
I almost hear nobody talking about him. He led the team in tackles. People are actually talking more because he took over the mantle of the post-game. Which,
right.
Putting his own spin on it, I love that. Make it your own. It's a bridge of tradition, so it's the traditional words, but you're doing it different than Bruschi did it. You're doing it differently than Slater did it.
Was Bentley on the Super Bowl team? Was he 2018? Was he there? I think he was, right? I think he has a ring.
Yeah.
I think he does. Let me double check.
You sure about that? That sounds like a long time ago.
Not sure, but I think so. Anyway, go on.
But I would put him in that mix, and he's got a key job in the middle of that defense, so... Bentley, I think, is a little...
Bentley has a ring, 2018, his rookie year.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a leader. He's a leader of men, like his head coach. So,
well, that matters. I mean, it does. If you're talking about carryover from the good old days or whatever, there's not a lot of those guys left. There's him, there's Andrews, there's Cardona. That's basically it. You know, there's not a lot of other examples of guys who were there and played with Brady even, let alone won a Super Bowl with him. Like, this is the last sort of links to that, and that matters to Mayo.
And he doesn't feel old, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful to Andrews, but he feels kind of old.
Yeah.
Whereas Bentley feels like he's still prime, relatively young.
Late 20s, yeah.
Yeah, sort of blending with the young versus old. And I do think that is symbolic of what Mayo is trying to do. I don't think he's trying to flush the Belichickian Patriot way down the toilet. There are aspects of it he didn't like.
Right.
There are aspects of it he wants to modernize. And
you know he wanted that C on his jersey real bad.
Oh, absolutely.
That was personal. He's like, yeah, we're putting the C's on.
Which is better than L's and D's or whatever the hell you're back to your guy Dion does.
Dogs and leaders and, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rappers.
C. Everybody gets C. So, yeah, he gets the C on his jersey, Bentley, like Mayo probably wanted. Mm-hmm. And he's a bridge player. Because I don't know if he'll make it to the glory days whenever, you know, I guess if you have short-term hopes of this is a three-year rebuild or something, he'd still be part of it. But he can be a key bridge to the next glory days by, you know, his leadership. And I do think he's a unique leader. I do think he had an answer on the midday show when I filled in about leadership and why. Because he was I don't know if people know this, he was a three-time captain at Purdue.
Right.
And now he's a three, four-year captain here in New England.
This is his third, okay, yeah.
So, and I asked him, like, why do people vote for you? Why do they see you as a captain? And he had a great answer about, I'm not perfect. I just try to do the right thing, and I often do the wrong thing, but then I try to do the right thing after that because, you know, I'm not on a pedestal. I'm not better than anybody. I just try to do things the right way. And it was a really good leadership answer. It was one of those answers you're like, yeah, that answer is kind of why you're a good leader and a captain right there.
Yeah.
But I thought he had a really good day in the opener. And that was they made the Bengals one-dimensional. They didn't really let them get going on the ground. They didn't really let them get going through the air either. They just tackled really well and made plays. So mm-hmm. I would include him in a guy that hasn't gotten – like, I think he played better than the offensive line, and yet more people have talked about the offensive line than Juwan Bentley.
Yeah, true. I think less people were expecting the offensive line to be good than Juwan Bentley.
True.
I agree with that 100%. And Bentley, I thought, played a great game as well. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. The Jets, we got our first look at them this year. Aaron Rodgers in his first full game in a Jets uniform had some ups and downs there. We'll get into that right after Tom Carroll tells you what's trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox have now won three of their last four after beating the Orioles last night at Fenway. Rob Refsnyder and Tyler O'Neill went back-to-back twice in the win. Sox are now three games back in the final wild card spot in the American League. Their series with Baltimore continues tonight on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is at 7:10. Our coverage will begin at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil. Week one in the NFL wrapped up last night with the 49ers beating the Jets 32-19 in Santa Clara. And the Patriots were off today. They'll get back to the practice field tomorrow to begin preparing for their week two home opener against the Seattle Seahawks. Patriots are currently a 3-point home dog at BetMGM. Trending Now is brought to you by Jackson Lumber. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Tom Carroll. That's what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI. On WEEI.
Robert Saleh talked about how he worked the guys harder. They got more reps than they ever had. You know, very optimistic. And obviously playing on the road against a team of the caliber of the 49ers is hard to do. But it's fair to say we all expected a better outing and a better ball game from them than what we got tonight.
The moments have felt really good, but not sustained. You know, felt like we could just get a first down, we'd be rolling. And we had those three and outs, which really hurt us. But, you know, I think a lot of stuff's correctable, which is great for coaches. It's frustrating for players because we know how close we were / are.
It's Aaron Rodgers. Jets lose to the San Francisco 49ers in the debut of Monday Night Football. The final score in that game was a lot to a little. I remember 32-19 was the final score. The Jets finally got a touchdown drive, a competent drive from a competent quarterback, but that was not enough to beat the San Francisco 49ers, who pushed that defense around a lot, ran all over him with this kid Jordan Mason, who there was a little bit of controversy with, by the way, when he said after the game, yeah, I knew it was going to be starting on Friday, which the Niners did not alert the rest of the league to that. Still having Christian McCaffrey, was he doubtful or questionable at that point? So that could be an issue for them going forward. They need to get the kid a little media training, but he did look great out there running the ball, much better than Breece Hall did despite that first touchdown early on. Aaron Rodgers had kind of a schmeh game, got taken out at the end for Tyrod Taylor. All in all, I'd say that was a pretty tough start there for the gangrene.
Well, it was funny. I watched one drive where they looked pretty good, except they ran the offense the way I would run the offense, just throw it to Garrett Wilson.
Right.
I think he had like five catches on the drive. Rodgers just kept looking for him, third downs.
Belichick's having a conniption.
And he's really good. I mean, I would look to him early and often. That's going to be the core of your offense. But
Lazar had a drop early on.
Yeah.
Too. Like it was, yeah. It
they went, looked a little limited in terms of the breadth of weapons. And now I'm not as down on the Jets as it seems others are. He made it through the game. So the first thing you say is our quarterback is healthy.
Good news.
He's a little
there.
Older. Yep. I don't think he's going to move around like he used to, but he can still throw the ball accurately for the most part, and he has weapons. They went on the road against a team that is supposed to go to the Super Bowl, is supposed to be one of the handful of best teams in the league. The Jets maybe have desires of being in that conversation, but I don't think you'd put them there, right? If we were doing the old Rich Keefe Show tier Tuesday,
right?
We can't because it's the Rich Keefe Show. We're not allowed to tier things.
That's okay.
Because it's Tuesday. We could probably do tier Thursday if we wanted. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'd have the Jets in the same class as the Niners, would you?
Definitely not.
Okay. So you went on the road opening day, Aaron Rodgers proving whatever. I don't think it's as bad as people make it out to be. Like, they scored 19 points against the 49ers, correct?
Yes.
You scored 16 points against the Bengals. And everybody thinks the Patriots had a nice weekend and the Jets had a terrible opening weekend?
Yeah. I mean, the Jets' defense is supposed to be a lot better than what they
sure.
are. I mean, you know, if we're talking about the offense.
But the Niners' offense blows the Bengals' offense out of the water. They have way more weapons, even without McCaffrey. And it's become quite clear that Shanahan is a Shanahan. You don't need a paternity
Is that
test.
Not clear before?
I'm just saying, like, that offense, doesn't matter who's back there. Yes, McCaffrey's great, but they run the ball no matter what. And the same way his dad did back in the days of Denver, right? And in some ways, the same way Mike McDaniel does with the Dolphins. It doesn't matter really who's in the back.
Both of those guys are hurt again. But
you're going to have yards.
Yeah.
So, no, that was an impressive start, I thought, for the 49ers. And the Jets, it was a little bit of a hiccup, but I don't think it's quite the embarrassment that some people maybe in Patriot Nation are trying to paint it to be. Like, I still think the Jets will be heavily favored over the New England Patriots in a couple weeks.
I agree with that. I think they will be favored. I don't know about heavily favored. I think it'll be like a score.
You're a home dog.
That's pretty – I mean, like, if it goes over a touchdown.
Six, I think, maybe 6.5 is probably where you're going
to
be.
I mean, you're a home dog by what, 3, 3.5 to the Seahawks?
True.
The Jets are going to double that up, I would guess, unless they fall.
Well, the Seahawks won first week one.
Yeah, but to me, it's not just about win or lose. It's how good the team is.
Yeah.
Do you think the Patriots won, but the Patriots would not have won in San Francisco had they played the Jets' schedule?
No, definitely not. But okay. I'm saying the perception and the way they make the lines is what's going to get the most action. And if the Jets lose in week one, then they're less likely to have a big line, I think.
I will take the Jets because I think the Jets lost to one of the best teams in football.
They did.
On the road.
Agreed. And it was not, I mean, it wasn't a very close game either, I think is the point.
No, the 49ers want to prove something, and there's no better way to prove it than having Christian McCaffrey out, your best player, which I probably screwed a lot of people in fantasy football as well. Forget about the league rules, the fact that it's the last game of the weekend, so you have no ability to do much, you had no ability to do anything. You were screwed. You had Christian McCaffrey getting 0.0 points in your lineup probably.
Yeah, I think that in all, if this game was a low-scoring game and the 49ers won, and they won, say, like 24-10 or something like that, that's different. 32 points on that defense?
Sure. Well, that's why I would fire Sala.
Well, maybe that's what you need to do, but the personnel, I mean, it just wasn't an impressive showing from that unit.
Can we come up with something on the fly here sort of fluidly?
Sure.
Something that I genuinely have interest in. The Belichick list? Can we have the Belichick list each week of like the six teams?
Where he could go?
Most likely he could go, and I mean immediately. I mean those teams should be considering it. The New York Football Jets should be number one.
I mean both New York teams could be up there, right?
Yeah. Except the difference is if I'm Bill and I look at the Jets and the Giants, I'm going to Daniel Jones. What am I doing? If I go to the Giants, I got to have the belief I'm coaching for 5 to 8 years.
That'd be a tough call for him because the Giants has always been like his dream job, you know?
Yeah, but they stink.
They suck. They're terrible. Yeah, why would you want to go there? But it's the Jets, and he hates the Jets.
Yeah, but he hates the Patriots.
They have Rodgers.
They have Rodgers.
He loves Rodgers.
And he hates the Patriots.
He hates the Patriots.
He can stick it to Mayo and Kraft with Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, he could.
So if I were doing a list, the Belichick watch, the BB watched, whatever you want to call it, I would put
Let's
the
make
Jets
tiers.
Number one.
Belichick tiers.
Sure. Because I think.
But not on Tuesday.
No, not on Tuesday. I think the Bengals should be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers, Jordan Love hurt. You lose. I think they're a little lower on the list.
I would say they're pretty low, yeah.
The Bills, a popular one.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're lower on the list because they get the win. Every time you win,
right.
The Cowboys have to be very low on the list because everybody was waiting for McCarthy to fall on his face or some dysfunction. The dysfunctional team was the Browns, so they're lower on the list.
Falcons just got a new coach. That was a bad loss by
them. I don't think they want Belichick.
They're not going to – I don't think that's going to happen. who else? The Rams lost. They're fine. They're not going to fire McVay. I mean, there's not a ton of options
I think
now,
it's
but
like
that,
a half
that
dozen.
Certainly grow, yeah.
Half dozen in the top of the list would be the New York football. Because Sala, you said it. His defense is not as good as it is talented. There was that weird stretch in the middle of the game where Sauce Gardner wasn't on the field.
Yeah.
He was on the sideline.
Right.
They quoted him from a production meeting, you know, those things Brady can't go to, where they something to the effect, we can stop the run if we want to stop the run. Coach, you sure about that? Because didn't look like you could stop the run if you wanted to stop the run last night.
No.
So he's got an arrogance to him that is not really earned, in my opinion.
I don't think it is either. I think that it's something that if you're a good coach, you kind of have to have in general. Like, you have to sort of have that idea, especially if you haven't won anything yet. But in general, I'd say he's looking like he's more out the door than secure in his role there. And I think that if they can't win with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to side with Aaron Rodgers over Robert Saleh if that's who he decides is, you know, the reason that they're not winning.
Well, even if Rodgers left for whatever he say he retired.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jets, I'm done with the Robert Saleh experience. It
Probably.
Has not paid dividends in any way that I wanted it to. I don't think he's been an impressive head coach. I don't think he's been an impressive defensive coach maximizing his talent. So I'll bring in a head coach who has defensive acumen.
Yeah. And who's
Bill Belichick.
73 years old.
73 is the new 63.
In it for the long haul.
No, 73 is the new 63. I don't know if you've noticed. He's looked young. You've noticed it. His eyebrows.
Yes.
The people he hangs around with.
The people he hangs around with are definitely young.
Keeping
the eyebrows
Insta-face.
Look like an old guy trying to look younger is what that looks like. I mean, come on.
But he looks younger. It worked on you.
He looks like an old guy trying to look younger.
And it seems like it's working on other people.
Maybe on others, yes. I wouldn't say that it necessarily did the chip, but either way, I mean, listen, he's doing his thing. He was on the Manning cast last night, which I did not catch a lot of. We'll get to the Manning cast and do sort of a deep dive into it and what was good and bad about it. I caught some clips today. I always forget about the Manning cast. Every time Monday Night Football rolls around, I completely forget it exists.
Same. Until I look at my social media and there are people posting clips from the Manning cast. I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah, one channel up, I could go to the Manning cast.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, I could watch the game. It's a little smaller now because there's these things on the side, the head, talking heads on the side there. They have the field mic, which is annoying. And, like, I don't know. I like Peyton Manning. I think he's funny. I think Eli can even be funny sometimes, too. I don't need to sit there for 2.5 hours listening to what they have to say about every single little part of the game.
No.
Like, it's just, it's not, that's not for me. There's an audience for it, obviously. It's not for me.
It's like a podcast. Yeah. I get the highlights on social media. People will tell me what the highlights were and show me the video of Belichick and Manning and whatever the highlights are of the night. I will watch my old school, old hat, traditional broadcast. And I think Troy Aikman does a fine job. You talk about a guy who should be closer to the highest paid color commentator in football. It's probably Troy Aikman and his, what has he got, 3 rings as opposed to Mr. 7 rings on the other network.
Yeah, he's definitely better at it. So was Phil Simms and his 1 ring. You know, like, I mean, there's, it was, and I didn't think Simms was great, but you can tell who's more comfortable doing it. And obviously those guys have been doing it a lot longer than Tom Brady has. They've also been doing it a lot longer than Bill Belichick has. That Manning cast, the clips I saw, looked like kind of a mess. And listen, as someone who's been a part of many messy broadcasts over the years, I can recognize one when I see it. And that thing had some real issues. So we'll get to that next. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on that. We'll get to the Red Sox in the next hour. Are they still alive? Did we prematurely put them in the ground? We'll discuss that. Some playoff math as well. But coming up next, Bill Belichick and the Manning cast. How'd it sound? We'll tell you next.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Hey, they went a little no-huddle right here. They went a little no-huddle.
Yeah, no-huddle, dummy snap count. So you can see what the defense is doing. Right, yeah, he's doing 2 leg kicks. That's his version of a hard count in the silent count. He knows what the defense is doing, so he can audible, just like Bill said, to a play. He's calling a man beater, slot fade, back shoulder.
3-by-0, man, coverage.
Nice catch.
He knew he had
that's
a man-to-man
right
there.
That's the guy you got to get right there. You got to get Wilson in these critical situations. That's,
he knew
that's
he had
in
man
the Belichick
man
list right there. You got
to
cover this guy. I'd double him. In third down critical situations, I would absolutely double this guy. If he's single, Rodgers is absolutely going to him. He's a hard guy to match up on.
All right, that was a little taste of the Manning cast with Bill Belichick last night. I didn't watch any of it, I'll be honest with you. I watched it today. But, man, every clip I've seen is a lot of that. A lot of crosstalk, a lot of just going over each other. Bill expecting everybody to be quiet when he starts talking. And Eli and Peyton, they're just going, they're just yammering on. All three of them yammering at the same time. Which, listen, we do sports talk radio. That's not the most foreign thing in the world here. But I don't know. I mean, it's clear they weren't all in the same place. Bill was in his living room. Peyton was in the studio. Eli was somewhere else. Like, they all three of them were in a different room. And it just sort of like, you know, this is your big thing. This is your big alternative broadcast. Like, this sucks, man. Like, I wasn't into it at all in the clips that I saw. And I'm not really into the Manning cast, no matter who's on there, even if it's someone I really like. And I like Bill. I don't think he's necessarily the biggest personality in the world when it comes to trying to carry something like that watching a game. He did have analysis, and we'll get into some of that, too. They were razzing him about joining Instagram and sort of all this other stuff. But in general, it was just a lot of that. I mean, that's what it sounded like. And I have no interest in listening to 2 hours of that.
Well, I've had limited interest with any of this stuff. And especially if his analysis is on third down, you got to cover Garrett Wilson.
Got to double team Garrett Wilson, I think.
Thanks, coach. Like, the other team's best player, one of the best wide receivers in the league. That's your crazy analysis. I also think the problem is they have 3 football guys, or at least 2.5. I think sometimes Eli isn't really sure if he wants to be a football guy or a funny guy, which is fine, because I actually think the best ones I've seen over the years are when Manning is the football guy, and then, like, a comedian is in there.
Yeah.
And he's a passionate fan of some, and he's taking pot shots at somebody's team. And when you just have 3 football guys, like, Peyton Manning and Bill Belichick are the same thing. I think they really know football. Like, I trust their football acumen. Is that entertaining? To have 2 of those kind of telling me what they see, what they think, and as you said, if they're not going to be in the same room, it's going to lead to this, because they always have Zoom problems and link problems and audio problems, talking over each other problems. I just think it's a very niche audience. Yes, there's probably some real hardcore people that want to watch that. I just don't know how big that group is. I didn't see it, but I know Adam Sandler was on. That portion of the program would be more enticing to me, to hear Adam Sandler make jokes about the Jets or the Patriots or Bill Belichick, who was on before him, or kind of have fun while Manning is doing the serious football. You know, you got a trips over here and you got to get a timeout and he's got the dummy count. Manning can handle all that. I don't think he really needs another football analyst.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously Bill's just doing whatever and sort of bopping around and doing all these things, but he's not going to provide the jokes or the yucks or the
not good
else.
Ones.
He's going to do football. I mean, that's what he's going to do. The only football guy they ever had who is, I think, perfect for that was Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch, when he's in there, he can do football and he's just naturally funny. Like you can't really replicate that. You can try. You can get a comedian in there who knows football a little bit. But if you're like a football guy who's legitimately funny, I'd say Manning's right up there. Peyton, when he wants to be, is right up there. But he's sort of leading the show. Marshawn, I'd say he's right up there. They had Barkley. I remember I liked him being on it. I think John Stewart was on once. Mm-hmm. He was kind of funny. But like, yeah, in general, I think that it's not for me. I can't watch it for very long. If I care about the game. You know, if I care about what happens in the game, if I got money on the game or my team's in the game or something like that, I can't. I can't
deal
with
it. It can be distracting.
Yeah.
And if you really do want to watch the actual game, as you said, even the visual is smaller because it's shrunk for the thing, so you don't have quite as good a view. I think there's a limited audience. I also find it very weird that they're competing. Like, you can always hear, who does the game? Is it Buck and Aikman?
Yes.
Buck. And Buck will take shots like, yeah, let's tell you to go watch a different channel than the one we're doing our broadcast on. Like,
cannibalize our own audience.
It's very weird, and I know you're trying to grow the whole pie or whatever and appeal to everybody. I just don't know that Bill accomplishes that.
Yeah. If you're trying to get fans who normally wouldn't watch Monday Night Football, you know, you're probably better off doing like the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that'll bring in new people. People who want to watch Peyton and Eli Manning talk to Snoop Dogg or whatever, then it's like, okay, those are probably football fans already. So I know what you mean there. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go up to the great state of Maine. GC has an idea to fix TV commentators, whatever that means. What do you mean, GC?
Okay. You guys, this is actually a good setup. Watching the Celtics last year, you know, they're changing of the guards, the guy with Scalabrine.
Drew Carter, yes.
He's kind of a square. Yeah, Drew. Nothing really against him, but, you know, I think if they had, like, if they set up Scalabrine with, like, let's say, like, a Bill Blur, a comedian, have, like, your top guys, Brady was with a comedian, he probably would have been more comfortable laughing, you know, not as robotic. And this is why I think it would work for whatever league that does it in the comedian. Mm-hmm. The league's going to have that Taylor Swift effect where they're going to get the fans of whatever comedian they bring on to commentate with the athlete.
Yeah.
They're going to get a whole fan base that comes on, and then that comedian, while he's commentating with the athlete, he can try new material, you know, PG.
Yeah,
I
see what you're saying, GC, but I feel like Bill Burr, you know, Bill Burr has a big audience, obviously. He's a big, famous comedian, but like, the NFL is bigger than Bill Burr, you know? Like, he'd want to be on there to get some of that NFL audience for him. But I feel like that audience kind of overlaps a lot already. For, like, smaller comedians, if that's what he's talking about, like, lesser-known guys or maybe guys who don't have that same kind of high profile, they're not going to bring their audience to football, I don't think. Like, their audience is probably already watching football, and more people in the football audience will know about the comedian.
Plus, they tried it on Monday Night Football. It was Richard Miller. No, Dennis Miller. And
oh, that
it failed miserably.
That was bad, yeah.
It failed miserably. And he was a big-time comedian, right? He had a following.
He did.
So
they had Limbaugh, too, remember?
Oh, Limbaugh? Yeah. They had, what's his name, from PTI?
Yes.
Kornheiser.
Kornheiser.
They've non-football guy, add a different comedic flair or whatever. I think people are sort of entrenched in what a broadcast is.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally a play-by-play guy with a former player who does color commentary.
Right.
And when you try to go too far afield from that, people push back because they're creatures of habit and they know what they liked. And when you gimmick it up, when you add a comedian, you're gimmicking it up.
Yeah.
And also, wait, now I got to add somebody to make Tom Brady good? So
right.
I paid him $37 million, but I got to add Bill Blur.
Bill Blur.
to make Tom Brady good? Like, what are we doing here? How about just bring back Greg Olson and do a broadcast? Everybody seemed to like it.
I remember Bill Blur when he was up at the Chuckle Hut in Saugus. He was the best. You don't know Bill Blur like I know Bill Blur. You know, we saw him here at Fenway. I saw the Bill Burr show here at Fenway.
Was it good?
And my wife and I checked into the Verb Hotel right over the old Howard Johnson's across the street there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great hotel, by the way. They got these cool like Airstreams outside and stuff. We didn't get one of those. We just got a regular room. And everybody in the lobby was talking about how they knew Bill Burr from Canton there. They knew him back from, you know, when they grew up. Oh, yeah, he was my cousin's best friend's sister. My brother went to, his father was a dentist. He went to the dentist's office, like all this stuff. And they were going on and on about every single person there had a Bill Burr story.
Plus, I'm not sure Bill Burr would be good because some of his Patriots takes in recent years have been asinine.
Mm. Well, remember he went
he's
off.
He's a company
on
man. He's a company man.
Absolutely, he's a homer. He's
yeah,
a
and that's right. He went after Stitch. Yeah, what'd you ask him, Stitch?
Last year at Comics Come Home, I said, "What do you think? Belichick's going to be out of here?" And he roasted me for like 15 minutes, telling me I was the dumbest thing he'd ever heard.
Well, Stiz,
you were
look
right.
Who's dumb now?
Right,
Belichick's out of here, and they're 1-0, baby. So yeah. Stiz laughs. Last.
Stiz 1, Bill Blur 0.
That's right.
There you go. 617-779-7937. Can we get the guys razzing Bill about Instaface? Do we have that?
You're still wearing the cutoff sweatshirt, though. I mean, it's just not – it would not feel like a game day if you weren't in the cutoff sweatshirt.
Yeah, appreciate it, Eli. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, maybe Instaface, but not too many.
Yeah, that's,
he stinks.
That's some good rapport right there.
This reminds me of Goldberg, Undertaker in Saudi Arabia, where you brought him back for one last match and they almost killed each other because they couldn't do it anymore.
Goldberg, Undertaker in yes. Saudi Arabia?
And they were both like
the wrestlers?
712, and neither of them could like pick the other one up to do the moves they're supposed to do.
Both still with us, both those guys?
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't followed wrestling in a long time.
You mean alive?
Alive, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
No. They're still with us, very much alive.
Wrestlers, you don't know a lot of the time, you know.
Well, like, that is fair.
Don't live very long,
but it's just sad. It's like living off the gimmick 20 years after the gimmick was over. And
you know Goldberg's kids on the CU football team?
I noticed that. I didn't know that until this week. I was like, "Hey, Goldberg," because I loved Goldberg. He was my favorite wrestler in his prime. I went to Providence. I went to the Garden. I was all in on.
You were a big wrestler. WCW. He was right.
Right. Yeah, well, okay. Both actually. He did both. They all kind of did.
Okay.
Back and forth. But
that's about when I stopped watching wrestling was the Goldberg years.
Bill reminds me of Gronk, too, in that, Gronk spike, that's funny. Well, do you got anything else to go to after you spike? Does Bill have anything other than the Instaface, the cutoff sweatshirt, old dog? Like, what's his new material?
I don't know.
Does he have any?
We'll see, I guess. He's going to have to because he's got 700 different jobs. So.
Or he's going to take a jog by week five. He's going to go join, you know, the Jets or the... No, it can't be the Cowboys. I already bumped them down the list.
Yeah, probably Bengals. Not them. Bengals, yeah.
Jets or Bengals by week five, Bill. People are they're not going to like you by week five.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Red Sox, are they still alive?
Yes.
The Baltimore Orioles might think so because the Red Sox pounded them last night here at Fenway Park. We'll do some playoff math. And the other teams in the American League, certainly in that wild card hunt, flailing a little bit right now. There's an opening. I don't think much of it, but there is an opening. We'll get to that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh,
I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.